God loves a drunkard's cry. The soldiers plead not to let him die. Better than a hallelujah sometimes. We pour out our miseries. God just hears a melody. Beautiful the mess we are. The honest cries of breaking hearts. Better than a hallelujah. Woman holding on for life, a dying man giving up the fight. Better than a hallelujah sometimes. Here's a shame for what's been done. The silence when the word won't come. Better than a hallelujah sometimes. We pour out our miseries. God just hears a melody. Honest cries of breaking hearts are better than a hallelujah.
What's up? I'm Ovie Mahaley, Pro Bowl fullback for the Atlanta Falcons, and you're listening to Andrew and the Drew Show.
Hey, everyone, and thank you so much for listening to the Drew Show tonight. We greatly appreciate all your support. We actually were going to take a quick break from the show, a summer break, but Blog Talk Radio contacted us, and so we're staying on the air, and we're going to stay on the air all summer long. And I appreciate I appreciate everyone so much for all that you do. You can follow us on Twitter at The Drew Show and the number one. We're actually trying to come up with a new Twitter name, so go ahead and follow us today before that changes so you can keep up with us on that. Continue to check out our website as thedrewshow.com as well. And we really appreciate it. And I want to give a special shout out, as always, to the VRO. These are a great bunch of girls. They have a great show. If you love any of the True Blood or the Twilight films or anything like that, then they are your number one source for keeping you updated. You can check them out at thevro.com, and you can find links to straight to their page. We have a very, very special show with us today. A very special guest with us today, I should say. You have seen this guy on Whose Line Is It Anyway?, Talk Soup, The Dating Game, so many more. I am pleased to welcome to the show today Mr. Brad Sherwood. How are you, sir?
I am fine, Drew. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for joining me. I really do appreciate it.
My pleasure. I hope you're staying cool.
Oh, man, trying to beat this Georgia heat. It's not been easy at all.
Yeah, my dad lives in Tennessee, and he always calls it Hot Atlanta.
What part of Tennessee?
Nashville.
Okay. My brother lives in Nashville, and I spent some time actually in Columbia, Tennessee as
yeah.
well.
It's beautiful there.
Yeah, it really is. You were actually born in Chicago, Illinois, of course, and later grew up in Santa Fe, New Mexico. When did you know that you really wanted to be a comedian?
Well, I always liked making people laugh. I loved reading Mad Magazine when I was a kid, and I loved watching, you know, sitcoms and funny shows like The Carol Burnett Show. And I just loved making people laugh as a way of getting attention. So it was just sort of the natural progression from trying to make everyone around me laugh to trying to figure out a way to turn that into a job.
Right. And you grew up in Chicago, so did you grow up a Cubs fan? Or you were born in Chicago, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was born there. I lived there till I was 10, and then we moved to Santa Fe right around that time. So I sort of have a fondness for the Cubs and really more so the Bears and the Blackhawks, just because I'm not crazy about baseball like most people. But, yeah, now that I'm touring all the time, because we tour most of the time on the weekends, and that's when most, you know, sports stuff happens, I very rarely even get to watch football anymore.
Well, I can imagine. And I'm not a real big Cubs fan myself. I've always wanted to see Wrigley Field. I hear it's an amazing park, just so legendary. I've always wanted to see it. I'm sure it's really something.
It is a great park. I remember behind all the ivy that sort of runs around on the wall around the place, and it felt like it was one of the smaller, you know, still to this day, less corporate places. Pretty much every city in the country that has a pro team eventually demolishes their old stadium and puts up, you know, a Doritos stadium.
Right.
Big corporate-sponsored place, you know.
Right. It's going to be a shame if they ever tear down that field, like Fenway Park and all that. They need to leave it alone, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think Boston would survive if they tore down the Big Green Monster.
I don't think so either.
That might be the last. That would be like the Alamo. You know, I think Boston fans would protect that as fiercely as a fortress.
Now, how do you feel about the strike ending for football? You said you're a big football fan?
I know I'm a medium-sized football fan just because I don't get to follow any teams very fervently when I'm doing my traveling. And L.A. has now not had a team for like a decade, which is
right.
ridiculous. But yeah, I think it's good. I mean, I always sort of find it gross when really multi-billionaire team owners and multi-millionaire athletes complain about wages.
Right.
But
yeah, that's.
I never feel too bad for either side when they're complaining about how much money they are or aren't going to make at the bargaining table.
Yeah, hearing they only crying about how they only made $15 million last season. That's.
Yeah. See what I mean? Yeah.
Poor things. well, in 1992, you became a reoccurring performer on three seasons of the British version of Whose Line Is It Anyway? And then, of course, you moved on to the U.S. version of Whose Line. What was that entire experience like for you?
That was so much fun. I mean, I was doing live improv shows in Los Angeles, where I'd been living, performing basically for free at comedy clubs and theaters, and I was in a bunch of different improv groups. So pretty much every night of the week I was doing a show somewhere. And then Whose Line came along, which was literally the only sort of television professional outlet for someone who was an improviser. So it was so cool to get on that show. You know, it was basically the Super Bowl of improv shows. And it kind of put improv on the map, which then sort of paved the way for us to all continue to do it and do other shows and go out and perform live all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was just so fun. It was basically a live improv show in front of cameras with a live audience.
Right. And I know there has been a lot of heat about, and this is one thing I was talking to Colin about when we had him on the show, Colin Mockery, that, you know, a lot of people talked about how the show had to be scripted. There was just too much that happened. It had to be scripted. Did you get a lot of those questions and a lot of that heat as well?
We still get that today. I mean, Colin and I perform live, and we'll perform live in front of an audience, and sometimes they'll say, "Now, come on, you don't have something in your back pocket if we say police officer is an occupation," and we really don't. In a certain sense, it's odd that people watch the show if they sort of didn't believe that it wasn't made up. So it's kind of like a compliment and an insult at the same time. They're saying, we think you're so talented you couldn't possibly be making it up. So so we're calling you a liar, and we're saying that that's pretty amazing. So you just got to go with it. There's really no way to prove it. I've made up songs, and afterwards the person we got the suggestion from will be asked by another audience member if they were planted there to say mm-hmm. that suggestion. So, you know, just even when they're seeing it happen, it's almost like a magic trick. They think there's got to be a trap door or a special mirror where we hide
right.
the elephant.
Right. Now, I think being a comedian and actually singing are two completely different things. Was that really awkward for you to have to sing?
Well, really, I didn't. I did it with a couple of different improv groups. So once I was doing it on Whose Line, it's not like I was being thrown to the wolves. Because I was doing shows a lot with musical improv, so we would do actual sort of full-fledged improvised musicals. And as the show would go on, you'd just be launched in, and the keyboard player would start playing music, and you'd have to do a silly little song based on some goofy title that you might have said out loud as a line of dialogue.
Right.
There's a couple games like that where you're speaking, and if someone says, "Pass me that sandwich," someone can say song cue, and now you literally have to write a song called "Pass Me That Sandwich" while the keyboard player starts playing. So you get kind of good at just improvising, and it's really a good sort of game for people that have a crossword puzzle kind of mind, because you're constantly having to grab words that rhyme and make sense as you're composing.
I've always wondered about that when I watched this show, and I thought, you know, did you and Wayne Brady ever have an instance where, you know, Drew Carey told you what it was going to be about or whatever, and you were like, oh my God, what am I going to say?
Well, actually, that's kind of the state you are in every moment that you're taping Whose Line. You're literally always in a state of, oh my God, what am I going to say? And then
right.
something just flies out of your mouth, and you make it work. And if it's ridiculous, then the people around you make the fact that it's ridiculous even more ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're literally all just kind of running around keeping the balloon from hitting the floor at all times. And because we don't know what the suggestions are going to be or what the other people that are in the scene with us are going to say, you're in constant getting ready to land on your feet mode.
Mm-hmm. What was it for you that made Whose Line so special? And can you tell us any fun facts that happened behind the scenes?
Well, I don't know if I have any fun facts. I just think what made it special was it was really the first successful TV show that managed to capture improv and put it on TV. It's not an easy thing to do for a lot of reasons. Networks and TV producers don't want to literally hand all of the artistic power and control to the performer and trust it. You know, you're basically saying, okay, I believe you four people are going to somehow come up with something funny. And go, you know, most things like sitcoms, they write a script and then they rewrite it and everybody has notes and all the producers and the networks look at every single line and change it and try and make it, you know, politically correct and more funny and this and that. And so they all have agreed and signed off on every moment that happens on an episode of Seinfeld. In this, it's literally they just turn on the cameras and hope they get a half hour's worth of comedy. So it's a giant leap of faith. So that's
right.
why it was so hard to get on the air. And the performing of it, just playing with all those guys with, you know, Colin and Ryan and Wayne and Greg and Chip, it was so much fun when we were taping that show. It was
mm-hmm.
literally like a party, you know. And my goal was always just to make Drew and the other guys laugh. And the audience was going to laugh if I was making them laugh. So,
you know, those were the best things about Whose Line Is It Anyway? When Colin would do something or you would do something or anything, anyone else that, you know, no one else would be able to do anything else just because they'd be on the floor laughing and they would still have the camera rolling. It was just hilarious. I think that was one of the best times.
I think that's why, in a certain sense, it was like my dream job, because when I was a kid, my favorite TV show was The Carol Burnett Show, and Tim Conway and Harvey Korman would be on that show, and they'd be in a sketch, and Tim Conway would get Harvey Korman laughing in the middle of the sketch, and he wouldn't be able to stop. And that was my favorite moment on television, and literally to then end up on a show like Whose Line, where because it's not scripted and we're all trying to make each other laugh, I got to actually live that kind of a moment over and over again, where either I had somebody in the palm of my hands squeezing them to tears, or vice versa. And it's really, there's really nothing better than that, getting paid to laugh hysterically and make other people laugh.
Right, absolutely. And you have so much behind your belt. You hosted the Dating Game as well as hosted Talk Soup. That must have been a lot of fun, Talk Soup. Did you enjoy that?
I guest hosted Talk Soup a couple times. I think I might have done like 3 episodes. So that wasn't like a full-time gig. But I did a whole season of the Dating Game, and that was a lot of fun. I actually, I've hosted a lot of shows, and I must say it's one of the things I really like a lot. I prefer it really to acting, actually. Just because I kind of like being myself, and I like interacting with people and kind of running a show. It, to me, it's more satisfying than, you know, pretending to be a mechanic for 7 seasons on a sitcom, you know?
All right. So you would definitely have an interest in hosting your own full-time show like Talk Soup?
Absolutely. Yeah, I go out on hosting auditions, and every once in a while I'll shoot a pilot for a show where I'm hosting something. And, you know, a couple times a year I'm usually shooting a show, and then it's a matter of whether it gets on the air or not. So, I don't know if you've ever seen those Red Bull competitions where people make those crazy hang gliders and run off a pier over the water and see how far they can fly. That's what it's like making a TV show. You know, you're basically strapped 2 styrofoam things to your arms and a beer keg, and you run off the pier and see how far you can get. That's showbiz, right there in a nutshell.
Well, I never usually ask this when I have a guest, but we interviewed Colin Mochrie recently, and he said that he wanted to be, when he was younger, he wanted to be a marine biologist. And so there was just complete silence there on my part at first. But so I have to ask you, what would you have seen yourself doing if it wasn't for being a comedian?
Well, the strange thing is Colin and I have that in common. We have a lot of similarities. We're both left-handed. We're both Sagittarians born, near the end of the year. And both of us, when we were kids, wanted to be oceanographers. I was into Jacques Cousteau, and I really wanted – that was what I first thought I wanted to do before I got into performing and comedy. Mm-hmm. And so we have the – and we both really like spicy food. So we're left-handed Sagittarians that both wanted to be oceanographers, and we like spicy food. It's pretty crazy.
Wow. Yeah, I'm left-handed also, so I guess that means we're very smart, right? Is that what that means?
I think it means we're very creative. It doesn't give you any leg up in the smarts, but because your left hand is ruled by the right side of your brain, which is, tends to be the more artistic and like language arts and graphic arts side of your brain, whereas the left side of the brain, which rules the right hand, is more numbers and structure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why a lot of lefties end up going into things like music and art and performing.
I see. Wow. Well, I wish I knew how to play an instrument then.
Yep. Never too late to take up the accordion.
That's true. Now, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I hear that you do impersonations. Can you give us any?
I do not, and I'm sure it was Colin who said that because he's a liar who wants to create an awkward moment for you and me.
I actually read that on Wikipedia.
Really?
I did.
That's really weird. I mean, we had this game on Whose Line called Impressionable or Questionable Impressions, where we would have to do the scene, and every line we said in the scene we had to do as like a different character. So basically, all of us were kind of, because we weren't impressionists. That was not a skill set we had. So we would be sort of tripping over these very lame, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger or Jimmy Stewart or Yogi the Bear impressions the whole time. And most of the time we would be looking at each other like, okay, who are you doing right now? So it was really the producers basically, you know, tying our feet together and telling us to run.
Let me read you this then, if you don't mind.
Sure.
That you impersonate Bruce Springsteen, Mick Jagger, Bob Dylan, Fred Schneider, Roger Daltrey, Willie Nelson, Yogi Bear, Jimmy Stewart, and Jim Backus. So,
we'll see what that is. A Whose Line fan has added to my Wikipedia page by going through all of their, like, old clips of Whose Line, and they just literally, like, wrote down everybody who I took a stab at, and now on Wikipedia that's, like, these are finely crafted impersonations that I do on a regular basis, where I literally actually did them once. You know, the one I ever really remembered was we did a spoof of the B-52s when we were singing, I believe it was Wayne and I, or it might have even been on the British version, and I ended up singing like Fred Schneider, the B-52s, and that sounded pretty much like him. But the rest of those are just me sort of desperately trying to, you know, approximate something that sounds like them so that the goofy lyrics that I'm making up on the spot somehow are more enjoyable. But, yeah, I've never considered myself an actual impersonator.
I am never depending on Wikipedia again. That's it.
Well, they don't even have my actual middle name. It's listed. Some other joker on Wikipedia put up a middle name for me as Ramon, and that's not my middle name. But I don't care. I'll leave it there because I liked the Ramones when they were on, so it sounds cool. But, yeah, at one point I tried to, like, contact Wikipedia and say, hi, this is the actual Brad Sherwood, and I would like to change the fact that my name isn't Ramon because everybody who ever does a search on me ends up with a page that says Brad Ramon Sherwood. And I think they changed it for a while, and whoever put it up there put it back up there. So Wikipedia is only marginally accurate.
I actually saw that, so I'm glad I didn't ask you that as well. The picture they actually have of you looks like you're about 19 years old as well. So,
there you go. And who knows who put that picture up, because I didn't put it up. You know, so it's kind of like Wikipedia is like a potluck dinner. Everybody brings a little information in and throws it down, and sometimes the tuna salad's gone bad.
Well, Brad, you are on a nationwide tour right now with Colin Mochrie. I do know that for sure. Tell us about that.
We're going back out on the road in September to start performing all over the country again. We have been performing now for, I believe, 7 or 8 years together, doing our two-man show. It's all live improv. We use audience members up on stage with us, and we take suggestions for every single thing we do. So it's kind of like a wild and wacky live version of Whose Line, and it's really fun. We've had a lot of success with it. People that have seen the show really love it, and the show is never the same twice. So we have people that, when we come to some towns over and over again, they come back every single year because they're never going to see the same stuff.
Mm-hmm. I actually checked the schedule, and unfortunately you're not coming to Georgia from what I could see, but I would love to see you guys in person. That would be awesome.
Thanks. It's a lot of fun. We haven't been through Georgia in quite some time. We have people that are always looking for places for us to perform, and then theaters sometimes call in. So it's just a sort of a hodgepodge of how you put a tour together. You sort of try and sell yourself and wait for people also to call in and say, hey. So, yeah, if anybody in Atlanta works at, you know, one of the theaters downtown, we usually perform in like the, you know, 1,200 to 1,500 seat theaters, usually like an old, you know, movie house or opera house that has been renovated. So anybody in Atlanta knows the booking people there, they can bring us in.
Absolutely, yeah. Shoot me an email, or you can go to your official Twitter, which is the Brad Sherwood, right? Did I get that right?
Brad Sherwood. That's it. Yep.
All right. And do you have a Facebook page as well?
We have a fan page, which is Colin Mochrie and Brad Sherwood as a fan page, and then I also have a fan page, which is just Brad Sherwood. My actual Facebook page, I just sort of use that for people that I actually know, since it's got, you know, pictures of me running around with my dogs. And
Right. Now, before I let you go, I want to kind of put you on the spot again, and I hope you can talk about this. Actually heard there is a pilot with you and Colin. Can you talk about that at all?
Yeah, we're actually this weekend going up to the Washington State area to shoot a pilot where he and I compete in different things, and then the winner gets bragging rights and the loser has to pay some penalty. So it's a fun premise where we go around the country and compete in all sorts of different festivals and competitions, you know, whether it's like snow shovel races or, you know, log rolling or, you know, lawnmower challenge, you know, whatever it is,
right.
Turkey bowling.
Turkey.
We learn how to do it, and then we do it.
Well, is there, when can we see this, or has it been
released? We don't know. It's right now, it's that pilot, that, like the ones I was talking about, where you put the wings on and you run off the end of the pier, and hopefully
right.
you catch an updraft and it gets on TV. So, yes, we have a really great production company that is going to be shooting the pilot, and then from there we'll see if it takes off. So you just do it, you do your best, and you cross your fingers, and then see if there's a network out there that wants it. I will tell you this, there's never really been a better time to try and get a show on the air, because there are so many channels now, and they all want original programming, whereas in the old days when it was just the main networks, and cable networks really just showed, you know, reruns of movies. But now, you know, every channel has their own programming, like TLC and Discovery Channel and the Travel Channel and the History Channel. They all have their own shows. So it's mm-hmm. it's really makes it fun to try and create something.
All right, absolutely. There's so many shows out there that I'm sure that that can get picked up by someone. I wish both of you nothing but the best with that. You're two of you are just great people, and you deserve nothing but the best.
Thank you so much. And just for the record, I'm a better person than Colin, just so everyone knows.
Before I let you go, would you like to say anything about Colin?
No, you know, he's so easy to pick on. I mean, just look at him. Poor thing. You know, I'm sort of his comedy spotter. I take him out on the road and I make him look good. That's what I do. It's a tough job, but I can do it.
Well, that's nice of you. That's real nice of you to
yeah.
do that, to help him out, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of like a Make-A-Wish thing. He wishes he was funny, and so I help make that wish come true.
Mr. Brad Sherwood, thank you so much for coming on with me tonight, and I would love to have you back anytime.
I'd be happy to come back anytime, Drew. It was great talking to you.
Great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Good night.
Good night.
That was Mr. Brad Sherwood. He is a great person. He is so funny. He is such a pleasure to have on. He was such a pleasure to have on, and I appreciate him coming on with me. We have so many other great shows coming up. Please continue to stay tuned to thedrewshow.com. Please follow us at thedrewshow and the number one. We are very close to changing our Twitter name, so please go ahead and follow us now so you can stay up to date with that. You can also follow our guest, Mr. Brad Sherwood, at thebradsherwood. Yes, that's it. Thebradsherwood. So please do that. I want to thank everyone so much for listening tonight, and I hope you all have a great evening. Stay tuned for more shows. Good night.